There's just, yeah, they don't, there's advanced technologies out there that, that, you know, they just don't want people to know exist, and just don't want, and just say, oh, that's not real. Well, it is real. And if you don't want to accept that fact, you're in trouble. And so it's the same way. I mean, the United States spends twice as much money per capita on healthcare as any other country in the world. And yet it ranks dead last among industrialized countries. Well, it's, you know, it's like talk to people come back from Europe and they say, oh, it's like going from the Jetsons to the Flintstones, you know. So, yeah, we've just, it's, the United States has fallen way behind. It's kind of sad.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I got lucky, and Patty Greer happened to hook me up with a scientist. His name is Ken. He doesn't want to tell anybody his last name. He doesn't really want to go public yet with all that, but he wants to come on and talk about his technology. And as you know, I try to bring the top people in the world onto my program that have done something very unique that makes them on the cutting edge, or really knows, you know, brings some kind of technology that's amazing. But this guy, he rewrote or created mathematically equations for gravity that increased our ability by 3 times magnitude over what Newton's mathematical equations are. And in fact, if you alter it a little bit, do a little bit of revisions, it can get to 4 times magnitude. And they're using it all over the world on anti-ballistic missiles and all over the place. Very interesting man, but he is doing a lot of other scientific stuff. But he is also the one behind the Purple Power C60 that Cliff got us all into. And he understands, he was the first one to understand what really is going on with C60. Why is it working in your body? And how does it relate to, he relates it to the beginning of life and how life started. And how it really works and why it doesn't interact with other medicines, and just, it's an amazing thing. So after this is done, I also had them stick around to do special content for my patrons only. And because I thank you so much for being a patron of my show. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to grow it so that it can really provide more support for the show. But what I already have, thank you so much. But this is going to be content only for my patrons, and he's going to talk more about his fusion reactor, his MOXIE, he calls it, and also on monotonic gold and how, what that's all about and the history of that and really what was going on there. It's very interesting additional content. So if you go to my Patreon and support the show, then you'll be able to have access to that. I have another video up there that I did just recently, and also my 2 books you get access. It's really inexpensive to support the show. So I thank you so much, and let's get into that interview now with Patty Greer and Ken the Scientist. Hi, Patty and Ken. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Hello.
Hello. Well, Patty, you've been here before. And Ken, I'm so glad that you're joining us. You are one of the top scientists in the world. And I'm excited to be able to speak to you on so many things that you're doing. But let's first, because you're both here, can you tell me how you two met?
It was probably 5 years ago when I spoke at MUFON in Denver that I saw Ken one of the first times. But we've always been kind of distant friends, you know, because we're both part of the Denver UFO community, or we were. And over the years, I would see him at some of the UFO events. But last year, I was a speaker at an event in May or June in the desert in California. And I won't say the name of the event because I got hit by an energy weapon. And I saw the man do it. And luckily, he missed my heart, but I jumped twice on stage on the David Wilcock panel. To me, that's really a serious offense, but the head of the event didn't do anything about it. Instead, they allowed these people to have even more access, and now that event has been expelled from the retreat center. This year was their last year before they got expelled, and I got hit again. But this time, he hit me with a solid, bad weapon. And a day and a half later, I couldn't walk. Now, it wasn't something in me where all of a sudden I woke up sick or something. I was hit by this man with an energy weapon. And I won't say his name, but I have certainly reported it to enough people. So Ken knew that I was looking for somebody to help test the place I was living in the mountains, because after I won two major awards for my final film, Crop Circle Diaries, I won Best Film 2017, UFO or Related, and the People's Choice Award. I came back home after that event, and whoever they are, they hit my house with another EMP. And I lay there awake five nights in a row, and I didn't know what the heck was going on, other than the enemy was really approaching my home also.
What did happen? How did you know that they hit you or they hit your house? I mean, like, what symptoms did you have, or, you know, what happened to your house that you even know you got hit?
I had five nights right after winning the awards where I lay awake staring at the ceiling, and I sleep pretty well, but I didn't sleep a wink for 5 days and nights. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, and I knew, because I know who the enemy is, that I'd been hit and they know where I live. So I moved out for a few weeks, and the very first night I slept, I ate, I was back to human. So after a few weeks, I went back up to my house, and it was better. I guess they gave up because they saw no lights on at night, or however they do it, but they stopped whacking the house. But when I went to the UFO event where I got hit this year, it was only 2 days later where I was headed to the airport. And when I got out of the taxi, I couldn't walk. So when I got home, I asked the local community, does anybody know how we can get my house tested for electromagnetic energy weapons? And they sent me Ken. So he came up to the house with his device, and he's going around testing. And then he said to me, I met you at that big UFO event last year, right after you got hit with an energy weapon. And I was like, what? And so he said, I've got something in my car. So he goes out to the car, and he comes back with a bottle of Carbon 60 Purple Power in coconut oil. And somebody had given me a bottle of it a year before, and it was like, meh. It was in olive oil, and it didn't do anything. So I was like, oh, thanks anyway. And he said, no, this is better. This is one I'm doing, really high quality. It's in coconut oil, and give it a go. So, I mean, the price was right. He was a friend, and it was free. So I started taking it, and I was in so much agony when he came up. Not only was my house hit, my body was hit, but it just wasn't easy being me at the time. And the reason is because I'm the only one, unfortunately, with the real technology happening in crop circles. And my films have run 8 awards, but my distributors have done everything in their power to hide my work. So we're dealing with real enemy force, where the distributors that actually get control of intelligent people's work, if it's true ufology or true earth science, they're going to hide it. And then they're going to bring in their MyLab actors and their mind-controlled slaves and tell the world that, you know, all these horrible things are happening in ufology. So Ken kind of came to my rescue with this Carbon 60 Purple Power. So I started taking it every day, simple oil, you should grab a bottle, with a spoon. And within a day or two, I was like, what? My hips are better. So only Carbon 60 and a Rolfer, who's amazing. The first Rolfing was 3 hours. He was stunned that somebody could have twisted my hips with an energy weapon. But Ken understands the whole thing.
And well, okay, so, first of all, why is Ken's version, why did that work but the other one didn't? What is the difference?
Probably it's the quality of the C60. The stuff that Patty had originally was there was no quality. You didn't know how much was in it. They didn't have any quality control on the thing, and so who knows what level of C60 was in it.
So yours is at 99.9%.
And I get mine from a certified American lab. It's the same. You talked to Max Champy, right?
Yes.
And Phil, yeah, we get ours from the same supplier, and it's essentially it's a certified American laboratory. So you can be sure. Some people get C60 from China, and, you know, it may be good or it may not. But we ensure quality by getting it from a certified American laboratory.
Okay, so now, how did you know that she was hit by an energy weapon? And why are you the expert? I mean, like, what do you... That is just so interesting, because most people in the planet, they barely even know energy weapons exist. And it's considered conspiracy theory. But you're actually an expert to go see if it really was there. And I've heard multiple people start talking that there could be something to all this. You know, scientists actually digging in and trying to figure out how prevalent it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of familiar with this. My father was a major general, his final rank in the Defense Intelligence Agency. So I kind of grew up with this, and I've kind of been I'm a scientist and kind of researched some of this archaic technology. And from the descriptions, it really looked like, it sounds like a torsion energy weapon. I'm not sure how much people are familiar with that. The Soviets made a whole variety of those before they collapsed. Professor Kozyrev would be the one to check out. And, you know, there's a lot of people say it doesn't exist, but you know, I've tested it and used technology like that, and it really does exist. And so that's really what a description of what it is. I mean, it's the same stuff. I think Burden talks about it. He calls it scalar energy, and there's a whole bunch of other people that have different names for it. But it's a real technology. It's like fifth dimensional technology rather than fourth dimensional technology. So it's a step up, and it's just not very commonly known or used.
Well, what does it do to somebody? So when Patty got hit by it, what did it do to her?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, basically, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what the weapon is. I don't make weapons and of that kind, and I don't use it for negative purposes when I do use that technology. But I'm thinking, yeah, it basically messes with the life force, what people might call the prana, the chi, the ode, the orgone, whatever you want to call it, and messes with some of the primary life force energies. And torsion energy is spiraled. It's got there's a left hand spiral and a right hand spiral. One's a positive life building energy. The other's like a destructive energy. And so they probably hit her with that. There's a really good book, Life Force: The Scientific Basis, by a Dr. Claude Swanson. He's an MIT Princeton physicist, and he has a really good chapter. I mean, I would recommend the book's 700 pages. But it's just a compilation of all kinds of advanced and cutting-edge technologies. And I'd really recommend anybody to get that book and read it.
And it'll describe in there how this stuff works.
Exactly.
And
much better than I can in a short period online. But yeah, it's a real technology. It's advanced stuff. I don't know if people heard of Wilhelm Reich. And that's Dr. Wilhelm Reich. And it's similar. It's the same thing. He called it the orgone, but... It's prana chi. It's a fundamental energy. I'm sure in the future and in Asia, it's Eurasia. It's common understanding and used in English speaking North America. It's probably not so well known.
Do you find that to be the case where a lot of the advanced technologies is known in other parts of the world, but here we are taught that it's all conspiracy theory?
Oh, exactly. They just don't want you to know that. I mean, they had a destroyer in the Black Sea, an Aegis anti-missile system, and they had some Russian fighter flew over it. I don't know how many times they'd shut down all the electronics in the ship, and they don't know how that happened still. So, there's advanced technologies out there that they just don't want people to know exist and just say, oh, that's not real. Well, it is real, and if you don't want to accept that fact, you're in trouble.
Well, let's get into some other stuff here, because you are the one that figured out that the mechanism of how C60 works. Can you explain this?
Yeah, it was a hard time to figure out exactly how it's working, because I mean, carbon 60, it's 60 atoms, it has a slight positive 2 charge. So it would attack. It would attract negative oxidative radicals like superoxygen, which is an oxygen with an extra electron, or a hydroxyl radical, or hydrogen peroxide. But there wasn't really an understanding of how it neutralizes it. I mean, the carbon 60 molecule is nearly indestructible. So yeah, you could get these negative charges sticking to it, but how did it neutralize it? And it appears that hydrogen 60 acts as sort of like a hydrogen sponge. And I don't know if you're familiar with the health benefits of hydrogen gas.
No.
And they discovered this. Yeah, like in Japan right now, we're another advanced country, a little bit above America. They have like hydrogen bars. There's now over 2,000 or so hydrogen bars in Japan where you can go breathe hydrogen. And when you're breathing hydrogen and it gets permeates your body, it'll neutralize a lot of oxidative radicals, especially, you know, superoxygen, which occurs in, it's called SOD, in your mitochondria. And so it neutralizes that, and so your body works better. And it's pretty popular over there. It hasn't really caught on here.
And how far behind, not to interrupt you, but how far behind is the United States that you've found to other countries around the world when it comes to health benefits and different technologies?
Way behind. I mean, I don't know if I can quantify it to a thing, but it's like this. I mean, look, China has almost 20,000 kilometers of high-speed rail. The United States has zero. And so it's the same way. I mean, the United States spends twice as much money per capita on healthcare as any other country in the world, and yet it ranks dead last among industrialized countries.
Well, I found that too when people that I'm interviewing, everybody's forced to go out of this country to do any of the advanced stuff. It's scary to me because I know that everybody's passing us by so quickly, and it's because we just don't allow it here.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's also kind of the control system, I think, that's going on. They had, it's like talk to people come back from Europe and they say, oh, it's like going from the Jetsons to the Flintstones, you know. So, yeah, the United States has fallen way behind. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, that is. What other kinds of things have you seen that puts us so far behind? Like you say, it's like going from the Jetsons to the Flintstones. Like in what way?
Oh, I mean, look at the roads. I mean, I listen to people and they look at American roads and, you know, the potholes and everything just about everywhere. And they say it looks like the roads of Eastern Germany before the country collapsed. You know, it's just, yeah, it's just gone downhill. I don't know where the money's going, but it's sure not going into infrastructure.
Well, we're not taking care of our people. We're not taking care of us. And there's a lot of money being funneled out, which is, don't get me started on that stuff, because we're just being robbed blind while our people are suffering. But what did you learn on how the mechanism of C60 actually works? Because I don't think we got to that yet.
There's some really unique hydrogen bonding that goes on at the nanoparticle level. Well, C60 is a nanomolecule, it's not a particle. And so you get this hydrogen bonding where neutral hydrogen gas, doesn't have any charge, has this affinity for the carbon. For instance, if you look at the diamond on your finger, if somebody has a diamond, it's the reason your diamond doesn't rust or oxidize is because it's actually covered in hydrogen. On the surface of the diamond, where it's been, you know, buffed out and looking good, there's some free carbon bonds there, and they grab hydrogen from water molecules in the atmosphere and hold on to it really tight. And it's so your diamond is actually coated in hydrogen, and that protects it from oxidizing. Well, diamond is an allotrope of carbon. It's like an elemental form of carbon. That's like fullerenes, the C60 fullerene, there's 70, 76. There's a bunch of fullerenes. These are also elemental forms of carbon. And so that affinity that you see in diamond for hydrogen also applies to the fullerenes. And so hydrogen gas in the body tends to stick to those. It's just like a hydrogen spun. In fact, you can fit six hydrogens inside the matrix of the carbon 60 molecule, the little buckyball. Some of it is, where does the hydrogen gas come from? Now, in a healthy gut, if you eat a healthy diet with roughage and fiber, when the bacteria in your body break down the fiber, they actually release hydrogen gas. So your body on average produces about 11, or your gut produces about 11 liters of hydrogen gas a day. And this kind of permeates through your body. And that's one of the reasons why eating fiber is so good for you, because this hydrogen gas will permeates the body and acts as an antioxidant in a natural way. And this is also the same thing with alkalized waters. You probably heard of alkali water and how it works. Well, this is the fresh stuff that comes right out of the machine. And they've actually tested the alkali water, which is an OH with an extra electron, OH hydroxyl radical. And they tested it, and they found positive health benefits. But there were some scientists questioning it, so they dropped the pH water, the high pH water, through air, so any hydrogen gas would dissipate. Then they gave the OH water to the people, and they didn't get any more positive health benefits. See, if you're breaking down the OH water, that means you've got OH is just mean, usually water is H2O. So you've broken it down, so you've got an O and an H on that molecule. Well, the hydrogen that's been taken off has been from the electrode has turned into H2 gas, and that's also present in the water. And so when they removed the hydrogen gas, the positive health benefits went away of OH water or high pH water. And so it appears that the hydrogen gas was the stuff causing the positive benefits, not the actual pH of the water.
Oh, so basically it's what Japan is doing.
Yes, they figured that out. And so now they have hydrogen bars. Now, but carbon 60 is like a hydrogen sponge. And like if like one of these bottles here, sure. So this would be one of the bottles. This bottle has something like 10 to the 20th molecules of carbon 60 in it. So you could have something like 10 to the 18th molecules of carbon 60 in your body if you're using it. And that's a huge surface area. And so the carbon 60 acts as a sponge and just sucks up that hydrogen gas. Because usually there's various products. I mean, I'll bring one. Here's one here. This is, give them a thing. This is something I use. And this is what it is. It's basically a powderized magnesium. And when you put it into water, it oxidizes and releases hydrogen gas. And then you shake the bottle and you got to wait 30 seconds till it dissolves. And then you got to drink it right away because within 10 minutes, all that hydrogen gas will dissipate from your body and its benefits will be lost. Well, if you're also on carbon 60, that carbon 60 sucks up the hydrogen. I have some professional athletes that are using this, the carbon 60 with the hydrogen, and they're winning races against, they're in the older class like we all are, but they're winning races against former national champions.
So that's incredible. So basically, if you can couple C60 with hydrogen, like either bars, you know, being in a, like what Japan has, or take that product. What is the name of that product again? You put it up there.
The Active H2. It's from a company called Purative.
Okay. And you do it within 10 minutes. Now you're going to get huge benefits, more than you would with C60 on its own.
Yeah. I'll just give it for people here. It's, I looked at the website. It's www.purative, purative.com. And that's, I think they make it in Nevada, but yeah, it's a good product.
How much better does C60 work taking hydrogen or getting more hydrogen gas into your body?
Oh, it would work better. Now, if you're eating a healthy diet, especially one of the interesting things is that for some reason, apples, when the apples are digested, it produces a large amount of hydrogen gas, probably more so than any fruit or vegetable. And so, you know, remember the old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Well, that's true. And there's another way that people can get hydrogen, and that is you've seen those electrolysis foot baths, where they put, and then, you know, it turns to different colors. Well, one of the other things that happens when that foot bath, that's producing, you know, it's an electrolysis cell, so it's producing oxygen and hydrogen gas. Well, the hydrogen gas is a lot of it saturated in the water. And because hydrogen is so small, it goes right through the skin of the foot and then circulates into the body. So that's one of the benefits of having those electrolysis foot baths is that it's actually putting hydrogen in your body. So it'll go right through your skin, get caught up in the bloodstream and go through your body. And that's one of the benefits. It's the hydrogen gas benefit. And this is also another reason why carbon 60 really doesn't interfere with drugs and other sorts of things that people are taking, because it operates through this hydrogen mechanism and not through a direct chemical reaction. Carbon 60 doesn't make any permanent chemical bonds in the body, and, you know, it washes out in 10 days, which needs replacement. And so so that's why, you know, they found that no amount of carbon 60, they tried to poison rats with carbon 60 and they couldn't do it. No amount of carbon 60 could poison the rats.
So if anybody says that they're getting negative effects with carbon 60, what are your thoughts when you hear that?
Oh, there are. You can have some. From what we have, I've had myself and other people, they have especially a lot of people with mouth metal or large amount of mercury and stuff in their bodies or other maybe perhaps heavy. They find that when people start taking it originally, they get a lot of people will get a metallic taste in their mouth for several days, and then that'll go away. Then they start seeing the health benefits. So carbon 60 appears, I haven't done studies, so I can't be, it appears to flush heavy metals from the body. So if you're maybe carrying a heavy metal load, you might want to go slow with carbon 60 and drink a lot of water, because it may start flushing that out, and that can cause problems.
Well, so if someone's having problems in their kidney or liver or anything like that, is that possible?
It's possible, but I would just go slow and build it up. I think a lot of these people are just so toxic that carbon 60 causes a detox and you could have a detox reaction because finally, you know, a lot of that toxins are starting to flush out of your body, and you need to be aware of that. It's just a lot of my customers that use it, you know, they're already health conscious. The average Joe or Jane, they're not really interested in carbon 60 or in tune with that. So, but in places like a lot of times gyms and stuff where, you know, you got the bodybuilders and things, they have that reaction. So,
how known is carbon 60 now? Are you starting to see it being pretty widespread knowledge, at least in certain circles?
Well, actually your interview with Cliff High pretty much, started the 100th monkey phenomenon with carbon 60. It was really small before you mentioned it, but now it's just growing exponentially. And so that's
kind of cool.
Yeah. So that was pretty amazing situation. Everybody, you know, everybody from, you know, Live Longer Labs to my C60 Purple Power got slammed with orders.
Well, that's good, especially since it's good for people.
Yeah. And I have a large number of repeat customer or clients because they find positive benefits to it. I mean, people, I'm sure in the future it'll be a common everyday thing. Right now it's be up before cutting edge.
Yeah. Before cutting edge is kind of my show, which is, it's really exciting, but it can get frustrating a little bit at times when people think you're nutty. It's like, oh, I'm not nutty. It's actually coming. Like us being able to double our lifespan and things. I did a show where, in pets, they've shown using C60, but they also have telomere lengthening at 32%, which is unheard of so far. And that's, they're working with scientists and universities. They've done a lot of studies. They're doubling the lifespan of dogs and horses and pets, and it's incredible. Cats, they can too, but cats don't like the product, so it's a little harder, but it would work for them. Incredible. All this stuff is coming.
Well, I want to say something here, which is that Ken slightly said it, but it's people like you that are changing history. It's not going to be TV. It's not going to be the big radio shows. It's going to be the internet shows that are doing cutting edge technology. And I've been stopped on every level, Amazon, Vimeo, YouTube. These guys have hackers everywhere stopping the flow of important information. So when it comes to new science, I mean, my God, look what they're doing to the doctors. They're disappearing is a sad truth. So I think that we are right on the edge of transformation. And 20 years ago, I was working with Patricia Cota Robles. And back then she said, everything is coming to the surface to be healed. And that, I think, is going to be a really important thing to remember. We're not being destroyed as a species. Everything is coming to the surface to be healed now so that we can move into the new paradigm. And I think that carbon 60, I know it changed my life because I was really suffering. And if he hadn't shown up with that complimentary bottle to start me, I don't know what shape I would be in. But more evidence was that recently I went public and told people on Coast to Coast Radio a couple of weeks ago that I was hit with an energy weapon. And George Noory said, who did it? And I can't tell him. I can't say it to millions of people, because everybody knows who it is. But, you know, we're in a time where I really believe that all of this dark stuff that we're seeing that's flooding the news, that's flooding everything, is leaving. It's all coming to the surface to be healed. So when we get the scientists, it's why he's Ken the Scientist. He doesn't have a last name or address, you know, today, because he's got important work to do. And that little modesty he spoke about, you know, doing the ballistic mathematics, that's somebody who's doing important work. And so, you know, we're trying to figure out how can we move the planet forward without losing more important people. And it's people like you that are bringing it. So thank you for your show.
Well, I love doing this. I love talking to people like you. But now that you brought up the stuff that we were talking offline about the ballistic mathematics, you actually came up with gravity, new mathematical equations for redefining gravity that was 3 times improvement to Newton's equations, and they're using it all over the world. Can you explain that a little bit? Because that's a big deal.
Well, Newton, it's 3 magnitudes more effective than Newton. Actually, 4 if you do a slight adjustment. It's Newton, you know, Newton had a really good mathematical formulations, and it's mine. You can mine basically. They use a similar. Newton used a point mass, where he shrunk all the all the mass and volume of the Earth into an infinitesimal point, and then he calculated gravity off that, and it worked really great in the age of sailing ships. But when it gets into when I was doing my master's thesis, it was worthless, so I just couldn't do that part. So after I got done with my master's thesis, I went out and because I was going to use, you know, a whole bunch of gravitational formulations to show, you know, this is this and that is that. And quite frankly, it wasn't useful. It couldn't do it with it. So when I got done, I just dumped that side of it and I finished it up. And then when I went back and I came up with a new set of mathematical formulations that could do all the things that I wanted to do. And instead of using an infinitesimal point mass, I basically use an infinitesimal line. I use like a set line, but it's infinitesimally small. And then I do the calculations off that. It's quite similar to Newton's in that respect. And so now I can get three magnitudes more accurate than Newton's, which technically is a scientific proof.
It's a scientific breakthrough, and they're using it all throughout the world. But you did it kind of in the side and whatever, and so you're not getting formal credit for it. But you could have gotten the Nobel Prize for that in science.
I don't know about that. Formulations are not patentable.
Sure, so, but you could have at least gotten the Nobel Prize in science for that. But since you weren't in a mathematics department of a university, it doesn't work that way.
It'll come out someday. It's not a hurry. It is actually copyrighted. So.
Oh, you copyrighted it.
Absolutely. So.
Great. So that's wonderful. Now we got proof that you really did this.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, so that's, yeah, they can't put it in the textbooks without paying me. So, but anyway, that's, you know, that's just one of those things. It's not patentable. So, you know, they don't have to pay you, actually.
They're using it all over the world for ballistic missiles and the military and the high-tech companies. But are they not teaching it yet in universities?
No, I didn't design it for that. I just actually designed it for, I was in the space industry, sort of, and I designed it for landing on, basically, the Newton system doesn't work with oblate bodies. Mine works with oblate bodies. So like the Earth is slightly more oblate. It's a little bit wider at the equator than it is at the poles. And so, you know, and Newton doesn't work with that, the Newton formulation. So mine does. Mine really accurate. So you can do things like Mars. They've crashed a lot, the Mars polar lander. They've crashed a lot of things because they can't accurately take into account, you know, oblateness. And especially like the landing on the comets. Those comets are really weird bodies. And they've crashed a couple of spacecraft into the comets because they can't really calculate that kind of stuff in those weird, in those non-uniform things.
So now are the Tau organization and SpaceX and NASA and all those guys using your formulas?
I can't really know for sure because, it's, you know, they're not going to tell me what they are. But
they should be.
I could go on and talk about some stuff, but I don't really want to do that. About, you know, some evidence for it and different things, but I don't really do that. But yeah, I mean, it's four magnitude or three magnitudes more efficient. Four if you do an adjustment for the inner Earth, the inner outer core of the Earth is slightly more oblate than the rest of the Earth. So if you make an adjustment on that, then it's four magnitudes more accurate. But it's just a good base. It provides a foundation, a better foundation than the Newton formulations. And then they have spherical harmonic equations on top of that, you know, various chunks of the calculus to do accuracies, because there's you know, there's all the bulges and bumps on the surface of the Earth, and it's kind of, you know, yeah, it's, but when you're going to new bodies where you don't have all that information, it's much more difficult if you're running off on straight Newtonian thing for landing.
Well, how do you know that they're using it all over the world for ballistic missiles?
Well, I can't go under that, or anti-ballistic missiles. I can't go into that.
But you do know that.
Yeah, I do know that. Yeah, but I can't go into that, and it's not acceptable to really talk about some of that stuff, because it's, you know, there's some things I can talk about because they're you know, they're been accepted. Like for instance, the MOXIE reactor, metal oxygen fusion. They've actually, you know, that's the U.S. Patent Office has published the patent application. So see, that's approved. I can talk about that, and you know, people can look at it and do stuff. But you can't if things aren't, you know, you can't talk about stuff that's really, that would be in the classified zone. It's just not acceptable.
Okay. So are you, if it's in the classified zone, it's not acceptable in the sense that it gives out national security, or you just are worried about the safety of people that you know and yourself?
Well, that's probably a little of that, but Yeah, I mean, it's just the powers that be run things, and you just don't violate security clearance stuff and classified information. It's just not good to put on. I mean, that's their job, not mine, and so they make the classifications, and they're the ones that run the system. So that's you just have to just respect that because that's the way it is.
Okay, so it's more of a safety reason, and you just don't want to go there because there's no need to go there. Okay, well, can we dive into C60 just a little bit more?
Oh, sure.
And then get into your MOXIE fusion reactor. I want to know what that is and how it works. But you have figured out that the C60 is responsible for the origin of RNA chemistry and life itself on Earth. Yeah. What does that mean?
Well, you're familiar with shungite, right? Here's like a bottle of shungite. The shungite's a carbon mineral. It's almost all pure carbon. And it's basically algae coal. And it was laid down in a crater about 2.9 billion years ago. And that's during a time called the Great Bombardment. The orbits of Saturn and Jupiter were readjusting. And so it sent a lot of the bodies that were formerly into the asteroid belt just scattered throughout the solar system. And they were slamming into the Earth just huge amounts of meteorite impacts. The Great Bombardment's when some of the large basins and craters were created on the moon. Well, that was still happening on the Earth, and one of those craters filled with water, and that's where the shungite comes from. Basically, that's the meteorite impacts create large amounts of carbon-60. And so in the early Earth, there was huge amounts of meteorite impacts. And shungite was like 1 or 2% carbon-60 by weight, the carbon in it. From the fossil coal, the blue-green algae were pulling the carbon-60 out of the environment, probably from meteoritic dust landing on the lake and using it as a radioactive protectant. And remember, carbon-60 also gets covered in hydrogen. It has no solubility in water, but it has a real affinity for lipids or fats, so primitive fats. And so in the early Earth, you would probably get geologic deposits of carbon-60 and lipids. And one of the facts people don't know about is that carbon-60 fits exactly into the groove of the RNA molecule, exactly. And it also fits in the side groove of the DNA molecule. And one of the reasons for that is, in a geologic deposit of carbon-60 and primitive lipids, of course, the carbon-60 is covered with hydrogen, which is a radioactive protectant. The early Earth was 50 times more radioactive than it is today, the radioactivity, because Earth was formed from supernova ashes. And so it was really super radioactive hot. And so these carbon geologic deposits of carbon-60 provided a scaffolding and a safe environment, anti-radiation environment in which RNA chemistry could evolve and develop. Because if you look at, they've done studies with carbon-60 where they give one set of rats get carbon-60, the other set of rats don't get carbon-60. They hit them with a fatal dose of radiation. 100% of the control rats died. None of the carbon-60 rats died. They didn't even appear to get sick. See, that's kind of goes with the MOXIE. That's the MOXIE reactor kind of is how I came to the carbon-60 because I was working on this fusion reactor and I wasn't really trusting the radiation shielding. So I had to figure out how can I get some protection from radiation in other ways. So I went out and researched and I discovered carbon-60 and these sorts of studies that show the incredible radiation protection of carbon-60. So I went out and found a source of carbon-60 and was taking it, and it really helped I kept taking it because it really helped my health. And then about 7 months after taking it, I went into the eye doctor, my optometrist, and the beginnings of macular degeneration in my eye had disappeared. And at that point, I said, I'm going to find out how to make carbon-60 and have this for myself.
Can I ask you about the MOXIE? Now, if it is it... It helps to get rid of that radiation and deals with the C60 concept. Now, when we're going through the atmosphere that just bombards us with radiation, is this a solution for us getting through the atmosphere?
You mean the carbon-60?
Your MOXIE?
Yeah, the MOXIE reaction, just metal oxygen fusion. It's just another type of fusion. It doesn't do hydrogen to hydrogen isotopes like you might find in stars. Most of the time, it actually could fuse, you can fuse metals with oxygen. It was originally discovered by two set of Japanese researchers, Osawa and Kushi, back in the early 60s. I mean, the research was started before I was born, but it just kind of got suppressed. And then I had read about their research, and I had the opportunity to redo it, and I I basically just redid their experiments and confirmed their discovery.
So what does it do?
Basically,
what's the benefits, the major benefits of it?
Of MOXIe fusion?
Yeah.
It's basically a billion times easier to do than hydrogen to hydrogen isotope fusion. I mean, Osawa and Kushi, what they did is they came, they're Japanese, and they came to it from a different perspective, a more Asiatic yin-yang perspective. They saw the atomic chart as kind of the alkali metals, the alkali earth metals on one side, you know, things like sodium and potassium are yin, kind of have a yin balance. And then on the other side, where you get the halogens and, you know, the other oxygen and stuff, it's more of like a yang side of things. And so by putting the yin with the yang, they got fusion. And of course, they used an argon atmosphere in the chamber. In fact, I mean, if people want to look at, they published my patent application. So if you people want to look at it, I'll just put this up here. You can go look at it yourself. You don't need to, let's see here. There it is. Is that, could you read that? Okay, there. So that's it. They can just go back and look at that. And you can type it in and read it yourself. You don't need me to describe all the fusions. But basically what I did is they had a sealed chamber. They had a copper cathode, an iron anode, and they had a atmosphere of argon gas in there. They found that argon acts as a moderator of some sort. And then they put sodium and oxygen in that chamber, and it's glass, and then they had a glass window, and then they just, you know, ran high voltage electricity through it. And it basically gave off the same glow as a sodium lamp, like the ones you see out on the street, right? The same, that kind of orangish glow that you get from a sodium lamp. But over time, over several hours, the orange glow changed to purple, which is a sign of potassium. And if you actually take, if you go to the atomic chart and you look at sodium and you were to fuse sodium with oxygen, you would get potassium. And so they had successfully fused sodium and oxygen into potassium and at a relatively easy rate. I mean, and so it's easy fusion. It's like fusion in a jar. We produced, you know, it was $500 in parts and a really good electrical engineer, but we were producing more fusion, continuous fusion, throttleable fusion than like $100 million tokamak reactor.
Wow. I mean, so you could produce fusion energy really easily?
Oh yeah, really easily. And you can synthesize elements. It's quite amazing. I mean, I'm just somebody confirming other people's research. What I did is, instead of using sodium, because sodium is pretty toxic, especially sodium oxide, if it's in the atmosphere, turns to sodium hydroxide. You don't want to breathe that, especially in a vapor form. So I just went to the atomic chart, and the same family, hydrogen, is in the same family as sodium. So I used deuterium, which is heavy hydrogen. That's just a proton with a neutron. And I got heavy water, put it in the argon atmosphere with the same copper cathode, iron electrode, turned it on. And one of the things is, when you have an electric spark like that, if you can't use a Geiger counter or several other detectors unless you have a really good Faraday cage shield on it. So I use dental x-ray plates, because they aren't interfered with radio frequency. RF radiation is going to interfere with the detectors, and it worked the first time. It was really nice. And when you had to do it, if you didn't have everything all together, it never worked. But when you had it all together, it worked. I mean, I have an old science paper I could post online somewhere if you have a source and people could read it themselves. They don't.
Yeah, you know, I can do the link on the show page at sarahwestall.com, and then they can get that. That would be great.
I can send you the file, and then you could post it and have them link to it. That'd be great.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then they can do it themselves. It's easy to do. I mean, I had no problem. Worked the first time. And you do have to be careful, though. It does produce X-rays. One of the things, it doesn't produce neutrons, but it does produce a significant amount of X-rays. That's why I use the dental plates, the X-ray dental plates. And so you have to be very careful using it, because you will X-ray yourself.
So
pretty bad.
What else are you working on that's cutting edge? I suppose everything you do is cutting edge, but what other exciting things are you working on?
Some things, but I don't want to talk about them right now.
You don't have anything that you would like to talk about?
Not at the moment. So perhaps some future show, I would like to talk about a couple of these things. But this is stuff that's approved. You know, the government has approved it and has, you know, here's the patent application. You know, they've published it, so they've approved it, so it's approved for people to read, and so they can read it. You know, I don't really want to get on their bad side, so I only do things that they would be approved on and only give out information that's acceptable.
So where do you see the world going?
You don't want to hear say that. I don't know where the world's going to go. It's there's a couple of you know, there's pathways the way people can choose to go. It's not going in a very good direction now, and it's going to get a whole lot worse unless people really decide to change it. And even the people in the powers that be, I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're the great masters of the universe. You're really just the captain of the Titanic. And unless you do something different, you're going down with the ship. It doesn't matter how much money you have or, you know, the various sorts of degrees or rank that you hold. You're going down with everybody else. And, you know, hiding out in the, you know, in some underground cavern isn't going to save you.
Or what kind of world are you going to come back to? So what? Yeah.
And this is where I come in, because my work now is with solutions. And that's why I wrote you about Ken. It's why I suggested that it's time to start talking with the actual people doing the work. I have never interviewed, other than Jim Mars, reporters, because they're secondhand, third hand. And for me, I've always wanted to interview only the contactee, only the scientist, only the doctor, because then there's no piles of stuff that you have to get around. Ken is a direct route to science. And, you know, I didn't know if he would admit that his mathematics have saved this planet, shall we say. And he's done a lot of things that are really cutting edge. That's why he's only Ken the scientist. You know, I'm teasing when I minimize, but I think that this is how we're going to solve things, is to continue shows like yours and to continue movies like mine, you know, because those of us telling the truth are going to have our YouTube, Amazon, Vimeo whacked. What we have now is this huge plague of misinformation that's extremely well funded. And what happened to me at those two UFO events happened to me because I'm one of the people telling the truth, the only one with real Crop Circle research. And my films are available at cropcirclefilms.com. You know, 8 awards and 0 distribution, there's something wrong with this picture. So when we talk about, you know, how can we move forward as a species, what we need to do is get rid of this upper class of people that appear to be running things. We call them the powers that be, but I call them the powers that were, because I see the new paradigm coming. And when I said 20 years ago, I was told everything is coming to the surface to be healed. It's not that McCain is powerful or that the corporation hiding my films is powerful. It's that they're funded and they're in a group of very darkly cloaked monsters. Now, one of those people tried to buy C60 online and his credit card wouldn't work. But it's an adorable little thing that happens when people of bad intention try and get on a product for ascension. And I want Ken to talk about that briefly, because that one really surprised me. When he told me that the poor guy, when he told me that the shitty guy, excuse my language, couldn't get his credit card to work, it was like, well, there's karma. But then let's talk about what C60 does to people with bad intention.
Well, that's one of the bizarre things about C60. First off, these people going around using these torsion weapons to zap people. That's unlawful, by the way. And really, somebody in the intelligence services needs to put a leash on these people. I mean, you can't go using, you know, I know it's not accepted, you know, technology by primitive American science, but, you know, that's their problem, not mine. But, you know, they have, you can't just be letting these people run around doing that. It's not acceptable. And, you know, they're doing it to maybe people at the UFO conference today, you know, they'll be doing it to politicians tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. So, they might be doing it right now to politicians.
Yeah, these guys need to be put on a leash. That's just not acceptable what they're doing. It's certainly unlawful, I'm sure, by some federal statute. But that's one of the other bizarre thing about carbon 60. It has, I think it has something to do, because it had something to do with the formation of life. And now we're getting into something that's, you know, that paranormal woo woo kind of area that is hard to define. But there seems to be almost this weird manifesting or change that happens when people of bad intent. I don't really follow Britannic science. I'm more like a continental European scientist in my perspective, or a Eurasian scientist. In my perspective, I'd be leaning toward, you know, China or Japan more in the way I view things than I would be Britain. And so there's this, there's almost a, like, because carbon 60 has something to do with fundamentally the formation of life itself. Pushed a product.
What it looks like.
And it has a weird effect on people, I guess, of bad intent. It's like it causes the badness to drain out of them, or
so do they become better people?
Yes, it does that. There's, well, I'm, you know, in the Britannic concept of the universe, you know, the universe is a random happening. It doesn't have any purpose or meaning. There's no guidance. But and it's an entropy universe. It's like a watch that was wound up, and then it's going to run down. The watch eventually runs down, and the universe dies in heat death, entropy. But that's not really what happens. Entropy is zero, or maybe even positive, but certainly it's zero. For every bit of entropy produced, a certain amount of synthropy or negentropy is produced. And so that's what life is. Life is goes from lower states of complexity to higher states of complexity. And that's because energy is flowing through it. And the energy, like, for instance, our sun takes potential energy, the potential under gravitational energy, and the potential energy in the hydrogen, and fuses it into helium, which is a higher structured concept. But that doesn't take care of all, it makes a lot of entropy. Well, that negentropy potential, that synthropy potential, goes out with the photons and whatever else. And then when that energy flows through a system, it goes from lower complexity to higher complexity. So there's a balance in the universe. For every bit of entropy created, there's a certain level of negative entropy or synthropy created. And so the total balance at that time is zero. And so that's kind of what you see, is it drives people. Life is synthropy. Life goes from lower complex states of complexity to higher states. So when people take C60, it seems to drive them towards synthropy. So they go from lower states of complexity, and that would be like a lower moral state or a lower consciousness state. And they move to higher moral states, higher consciousness states, higher states of health. It's not an accepted concept in, quote, Western science, but, you know, it's commonly seen.
It's really interesting. It makes sense. You know, it would be great to start getting some science behind, you know, studies behind it to show, yeah, this really works. This is what's going on. But it's hard to say I'm a bad person, now I became good. I mean, you could go into a prison or something.
That's a judgment factor. But, you know, the world is changing. You know, it's like the structures of it. You know, China, the Middle Kingdom, has always been the center of human civilization, if you look back in history. I mean, they've always been the most advanced country in the world. I mean, they poured, you know, whether it's noodles or gunpowder or compasses or pouring large castings of metal. You know, the last 5 or 6 centuries of Chinese history has really been an aberration. They kind of got into a state of degeneration and decay due to their imperial, you know, infestations they have. And now they've come out of it. And now they're moving back to their natural state as the Middle Kingdom on Earth. So, and, you know, and in the meantime, United States, the Anglo-American sphere, has kind of gone into the state of decadence and decay. And that's a problem.
Well, I was hoping you could stick around and talk about monatomic gold with my patrons. But before we get to that, I was hoping you could tell us where they can get your product. And then also learn more. I know you don't want people to learn more about you, but where they can learn more about your company.
Well, no, you just go to c60purplepower.com and you can buy carbon 60 there. I sell it in avocado and coconut oil. I find those oils are... I find avocado oil. I'm kind of a sensitive digestive system, so I can't really take it in olive oil. It'll go right through me. And so coconut oil is, I'm still a little sensitive to that, but I find avocado oil is a really well digested oil of all the oils I've tested. And it also, yes. And so that's one of the reasons why I sell it in avocado oil.
But I love the coconut oil because I can't really taste. I like the taste better. To me, it's my favorite taste.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is a much. People do like the taste of coconut oil, and you can see the clear. See, that's one of the things I named it Purple Power, because when you take carbon-60 molecules and separate them monomolecular form in a liquid, a clear liquid, it turns purple, a light purple. If you get to see the whole bottle in a clear bottle, it's pretty brilliant purple, and that's just a sign of purity, C60 purity.
So if you can't see the purple, then it's not a pure product.
Well, if it's in coconut oil, if you put it in something like, let's say, avocado oil or olive oil, which has a slight tan, it'll turn like an amber color.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So if you know what you're looking at, you can actually look at the product and you know it's pure because you can just see it by the color. So that's kind of a backup. Say, oh, here it is. This is a good product. And, you know, I sell a good product. There's other people that also sell good products out there. If, they have certified, I get it from a certified quality, certified American laboratory. That just, the quality.
You're the one that Cliff High buys from. Yes, you guys are buddies. How did you meet Cliff?
Oh, no, I've followed Cliff for years. I've, Half Past Human and all the other stuff. So I've been a Cliff follower for years.
He's awesome. I love Cliff.
Yes. And he is really cutting edge there. He gets things way before things. And he knew things about carbon-60 I had no idea about. Like the one he talked about, that black goo that comes out of the bottom of Himalaya glaciers. I had no idea about that. That's just something that, for some reason, I just never come across. And that was kind of a way that the ancient Hindu civilization kind of discovered the health benefits of that by watching, the animals came out of the forest to the base of the glaciers to lick this black goo. And, why did they do that? So people started, testing it out, and it was, I guess, great health benefits.
Isn't that crazy that the animals would do that, even though they don't intellectually know why they're doing it?
Well, they're more in touch. Remember when they had the big tsunami that hit Thailand and Indonesia, and the animals, however method they do subsonic sounds, whatever it is, they knew it was coming, and they all fled to the hills. The elephants, everything.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and humans were clueless. Some of them were.
We were excited that the water went away.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, let's go wade out there. They had no clue about what was about to happen.
We do now.
Mm-hmm. Well, there were some people, the sea people, down in India. I guess there's an island out there off the coast of India somewhere, and it's Forbidden Island. There's the hostile people are there that will, attack anybody, and the Indian government protects them. They're like an indigenous independent group. But they went back after the tsunami, which hit their area, and their population didn't appear to suffer at all. So they knew. Some of the people that are still in touch with nature, they're still part of, they have the stories of their fathers and the legends that have been passed on that, when the sea recedes, run to the hills.
And they knew. That's interesting. Well,
but I would say, I think that wildlife is far more intuitive and telepathic than humans will ever be, because they don't have the distractions that we do of shallow society, of misinformation. They are just pure earth. They eat from the ground. They drink from the wherever they can find water, and they go naturally to the bathroom. So they're not confused with all the misinformation that humans have, and I think that's why animals and wildlife are still in touch. It's also why I will never live in a city again. I live up in the mountains with wildlife, and I've always had a fox. Every house I've lived in, I think I've had 6 so far. When I moved into the place I am now, my new friend said, you need to do a bacon drag, like put some bacon on a string and run it around the property. But personally, I just go out and call them in. And I do think that we need to be listening more to the consciousness of wildlife and animals. And here we are, the UK is trying to set a precedent that animals have no feelings, so they can do more testing. This is like news recently. Animals have no feeling. Who's that coming from? That would be coming from a very misinformed human. And again, animals don't have that. So it's why I stay up here and work with them. And as far as animals also, the C60 has healed a lot of animals from a lot of things.
Yeah, I need to say something here just to do it. Just from experience, and this is the oils, this is not my research, but basically, I guess coconut oil probably should be avoided for dogs and cats. I guess they can take it, but they do much better on avocado oil.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Conversely, horses and other, goats and cows do much better on coconut oil. than they would do an avocado oil. You probably shouldn't give them avocado oil.
Because?
Yeah, that's because a coconut is a grass, species of grass. It's in the grass family. So, you know, horses and cows eat grass, and so coconut oil seems to work better for them. And avocado oil seems to work better with cats and dogs and such.
Wow, very interesting. There's so many interesting things. So I hope you'll stick around for a little bit longer and do a couple more questions for our patrons. But thank you so much. And I'll have your contact information up there on my show page and on YouTube for people to know how to reach you. So thank you for coming.
Can I add a few generic human physical reactions to carbon 60? Because I think that's important. What happens to us as people taking it? You've been taking it.
Yeah. Can you do it in like a minute? Because I'm running out of time for our satellite time.
I came out of pain. My clarity of thinking really improved. And I did send, with Ken's permission, a bottle to Alfred Lambermont Weber, who was starting to slow down with his interviews. When I did an interview with him last week, or it was a phone call on Skype, he was a new person. And I said, oh my God, how long have you been taking it? He was crystal clear. I can't even believe the difference. And it was in a week. I sent it to Laura Eisenhower. Thank you, Ken. Let her have a bottle. And she's feeling unbelievable balance and clarity. And she's been all over the place. And she's so important to the field. And for myself, I snuck away while he was talking and took my tablespoon. But you can take a teaspoon to start, tablespoon when you get good at it. I've seen him just chug his bottle. But I think that the one thing that I've heard that's very funny is that the libido gets really enhanced. Now, I know that for men. I don't know it yet for women, but Ken says he's had reports. But that's a pretty amazing thing. If guys could get rid of that Viagra and all the after effects and the side effects, take a little carbon 60, you get clarity of mind. Your body becomes a little symbol of anti-aging, because that is one of the main claims. But the energy that you get is so much more enhanced, which really helps us. But any women that give C60 to their men, fair warning.
Not so sure if I want to do it to my man. He's already doing fine. Well, no, he's taking it. I'm kidding. He's taking it.
I asked the scientist women, I said, so does your guy chase you around the house and all they do is laugh? They're like, oh my God, you know. It's like, yeah, yeah.
<I know. laughs> That's hilarious. Okay, well, thank you so much for stopping by, and please stick around for my Patreons.
Okay, great.